News Express on WFMD. 301-694-9363. That's the number that this guy called. The mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Mike O'Connor. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, you know, here's the first question is that you're usually here. So, normally, unless you're going on vacation, where are you heading?
Today, I am in Cambridge, Maryland. I was down here last night for the Maryland Economic Development Association annual conference. They gave out some awards, some Frederick County recognition. So we're here to be a cheerleader.
Pick up the hardware, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're good. I appreciate you standing up and getting up early and joining us this morning. Let's talk about some things. One of the things that really stuck out over the last couple weeks before our last conversation was the budget. You released the budget, and I think we talked about this, and you didn't have the exact number. Well, now we've got it kind of broken down a little bit. Kind of discussed the mayor's budget and how much impact, it's your budget, but how much do you rely on other people to put all that together?
I couldn't do it without the assistance of the directors and the managers that oversee various departmental operations and functions. Certainly, Katie Barkdahl is the director of budget administration, is a key partner in helping to pull all of the information and participate in those conversations as we go through all of the budget requests and talk to our leadership about why they're looking for the things that they're looking for, and just working to make sure that it all fits together into something that feels like a cohesive plan for the city to move forward.
Do you give the directors any kind of direction, be it like, okay, everybody needs to be within 5 to 15% increase, or, you know, do you go, I need you to kind of cut where you possibly can? We need to have a bigger bare bones budget as we have to, that we might have to need this year.
What we ask our directors and managers to do when they submit their budget requests, and there's a whole, you know, back end computer system that they log in to do this, is to prioritize those requests, is to make sure that when they submit what they're looking for, that they're putting the most important things at the top of that list, so that when we have to go in and we get some final budget numbers through February and into March, when we have to really put final pen to paper and get a document ready so it can be out on April 1st, if we've got to trim, we want to, you know, understand what they're asking for and kind of trim from the bottom up. So try and make sure that the priorities that departments have are going to get funded, and then go from there when we see whether or not we've got something extra that's unexpected, or we've got to pare back because maybe some revenue projection is coming in not where we want it to.
The budget, if I'm not mistaken, is in the $150-160 million range.
Yeah, that's the general fund operating budget of the city of Frederick. So that's really all of the day-to-day activities that people are most dependent on when our employees go to work every day. It's trash collection and street maintenance and parks and the back of the house operations of the finance department and the budget office and the legal department and economic development. So yes, there's a larger number on top of that when you start to add in our capital improvements program and our water and sewer enterprise funds, and those, all of that pushes the number into about the $200 million range when you add all funds from all sources together.
We're talking with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, real quick, and before we go to break, the county executive, Jessica Fitzwater, is proposing a property tax rate increase. Is that something that the city of Frederick has looked at doing as well?
We didn't have to consider that to fund what we thought were the most significant priorities that we wanted to handle this year. I am grateful for the services that the city provides, And I do wake up some mornings pretty happy that I don't have to fund an education system or a fire and rescue operation.
Yeah, we will talk about that coming up on the Morning News Express. More with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Mike O'Connor, next on WFMD. 6:20 at WFMD in the Morning News Express. Mayor Michael O'Connor joins us. Mayor O'Connor, you mentioned something right before we went to the break, and that was that you're glad you don't have to fund certain things, one of those being education. I had a conversation with Brad Young, was talking about, and we were just discussing their budget and the property tax increase and the growth, and apparently there seems to be maybe more growth happening in the city confines that doesn't have to pay for schools. Should the city of Frederick, and if you do, pay anything towards the educational system for the county? But if not, should the city be forking over some money if they're creating more housing developments and places for people to live, because it's a desirable place to live? Should they be have a little more skin in the game, so to speak?
Every city taxpayer is a county taxpayer. And so every city taxpayer is contributing to the funding of those countywide services. So that's part of the equation. What we fund in the municipal budget are those services that are uniquely geared towards residents of the city of Frederick, for which city residents pay an additional city tax to fund. So we pay property taxes in the city towards the county, and our full expectation as city residents who are also county residents is that those countywide services will be picked up by county tax revenues. So that's the model that we work on, and I think that it works pretty well.
When we go, let's go downtown and let's talk about something that happened that the city is looking to kind of take over. And I'm, for the lack of me, it's early in the morning. I can't think of the term, but the Asiana restaurant receivership, right? Over the Asiana restaurant. This has been a blight for not just your administration, but previous administrations for, I don't know, 20 years. You have been an alderman. You have been a news director at our station. You have been the mayor. And you know that this has been something that you probably have talked about, have dealt with in many various of your jobs. Why is it that she does not want to make this property a viable piece of property in downtown Frederick? In your mind, I'm just asking for your opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say you're asking the wrong person. You need to talk to the property owner and ask them that question, because you can look throughout downtown Frederick, find other storefronts that have gone vacant because of a business change or a business decision, and they don't stay vacant for very long. Other things come in and backfill those, and this is an anomaly. And I can't speak to why that would happen. It makes no sense to me why someone would own a property and then not do everything in their power to try and maximize their ability to make that property a positive, profitable contributor to our community. So I think we've all been baffled over that question for many years.
What does it mean in the process that the city has to go through because of, now this is kind of a unique situation that the city goes into receivership of a piece of property, and there have got to be people out there go, well, if they do it with that property, they could do it with my property too, right?
So when we adopted the receivership ordinance, and the receivership ordinance was adopted probably 6 or 7 years ago, I was on the Board of Aldermen at the time. It came after I'd sat for about a year on a blight and vacant property task force to look at options to try and take properties that were not occupied and turn them into productive ones. Receivership was one of the tools that we created. The challenge that we had under the receivership ordinance as it was originally crafted is we set the bar pretty high. And I think it's not appropriate to set a high bar on this. We are talking about making the decision to use a governmental power to make properties more productive. But we set that bar a little bit too high. And so what we figured out was that just because a property had been vacant for a long period of time, that didn't necessarily meet the definition of blight as we had defined it, which would have allowed us to use receivership on a property like this. So we went back in a couple of years after we adopted the ordinance and had to do a couple of different things. We've adopted a vacant property registry, so we wanted to know when properties went vacant so that we could kind of start the clock on them. The other thing that we had to do is we had to define a habitually vacant property for the purposes of being able to call it blighted. So we throw the word blight around a lot in terms of a property like this, but definitionally speaking, it wasn't blighted the way our ordinances were written, the way our code was written, and frankly, originally the way the state might have defined that. So we went back and fine-tuned the process and set a time limit and said a property that's been vacant for more than 3 years meets the definition of habitually vacant, because we are not in a community where properties stay empty that long. So we tried to define a length of time that we thought was sufficient based on virtually any market condition. Not every market condition, but virtually every market condition. As you well know, this property has certainly been vacant longer than that, but we could only start counting the clock, turning the clock on, once we adopted the ordinance, and that was about 3.5 years ago. So this is the first time we've used this tool, so we're not certain how it's all going to play out when the courts look at the facts of the case, but I would say that we think it's the best case that we can make for a property that's been vacant for an extended period of time, and we want it to send a message to other property owners that have vacant properties and no plans to rehabilitate them that they're on the clock. And it's a recurring conversation we have with residents throughout the city. They want to see these long-term vacant properties turned around. And this process is a way for us to do that.
So the city is proposing that St. John's Properties be named the receiver. Was there a vetting process in that? Was there a bidding process? How did St. John's Property become the company, the people, the entity that's going to take over this in receivership if it goes through?
We put out a request for proposals, so we invited anyone based on the criteria that we'd established in that RFP about what we were looking for in a receiver, somebody who could potentially rehabilitate a property and turn it into productivity, somebody who could market a property and sell it if necessary or lease it if that was the most appropriate step. And so we solicited for people interested in this. I will tell you, we didn't get a lot of feedback on that. We didn't get a lot of people who submitted. I think that, again, this is a little bit of a new concept, and I don't think that a lot of people were necessarily willing to maybe take the risk that might come along with this. There's no guarantees. At the end of the day, if you take on this role as the receiver, that you're going to make a lot of money off of the deal. So St. John's was willing to do it because I think they saw it as an opportunity, to, frankly, build goodwill with the community.
So when that happens, when the RFP goes out, give me a quick 30-second. What happens then? Is it looked at through you, the mayor?
Yes.
Are you got the only choice, or do you put it in front of the Board of Aldermen?
We have a team of people who will look at it. It would go in front of the Board of Aldermen at the point that they're. We have a team of people who will look at it. It would go in front of the Board of Aldermen at the point that there is a requirement that the city expend dollars. So in this particular instance, we're not awarding a contract. So there's no dollars being spent by the city through this process. The RFP asked for the receiver to take the effort. In this particular instance, we're going to ask the court to allow the receiver to do what the receiver believes is necessary to get the property marketed and to sell the property. And if the court agrees, then what will happen is the receiver is permitted, with the court's approval, to hold on to some of the proceeds to fairly account for their time and effort to get the property to the sales table, and any remaining proceeds from that sale will go back to the property owner.
We'll have more with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, coming up on the Morning News Express at WFMD.
From the 930 WFMD News Center.
A bond hearing was held for Thurmont Town Commissioner charged with sex abuse of a minor.
News at 30 past the hour on News Radio 930 WFMD.
930 WFMD traffic for Frederick and surrounding counties.
We've got units responding to an accident in Frederick County, 15 northbound and Blue Mountain Road. We're hearing one may be an overturned vehicle accident, so watch out for those flashing lights. Do be proceeding towards that area. Disabled vehicles 75 northbound just after Interstate 70 in Newmarket and slowing on 270 southbound in Frederick County. From 85 into Hyattstown, 355 southbound, very slow before Lewisdale Road to 109. This is brought to you by Frederick Air and Bryant. Whatever it takes to keep you comfortable, Frederick Air, it's a good call.
The 930 WFMD sky scan forecast of Frederick and surrounding counties. For this morning, a clear sky. It'll be sunny today. Temperatures near 70. Partly cloudy this evening. Mostly cloudy with a stray shower later tonight. The low 54. Wednesday, partly sunny. Could be a shower. The high 70. Sunny skies for Thursday. High 62. Sunshine Friday. High 64 degrees. PJ's Roofing. When it comes to your roof, they've got you covered. Visit PJsRoofing.com. I'm meteorologist Jim Rinaldi.
Thank you, sir. Right now, 36 and sunny skies. It's the Morning News Express. Well, not sunny yet. It's the Morning News Express. But here's your questions are coming up next. We'll get them answered by the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, next on WFMD.
WFMD News Time.
Morning News Express. Let's get right back to it. Jack in with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor. Somebody asked this, Mayor O'Connor, will Rocky Springs Road be open again before Shookstown closes?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Well, that's an honest answer. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm going to say probably not. The bridge on Rocky Springs Road needs to be replaced, and we've got funding in the budget this year. We've got to do a full sort of deck replacement on that bridge. So that road is going to be out of service for a little while.
Here's another question for you coming off the request line, or not the request line, the text line. Why not put the conference center on the Brickworks property instead of the Frederick News Post property? I'm going to let you answer, but I think I have my own answer to that question.
Because we think right downtown on the creek is a better use of a piece of property that is underperforming at the moment, and it creates a centralized lodging opportunity that the Brickworks property would not provide given its proximity off of the main drag in downtown Frederick. So we're really trying to use the benefits of our downtown to the greatest extent, and we think that downtown is the best location for the facility that we have been talking about for a number of years.
So is this project, is this a quasi private and city project? Did you hear that, Mayor?
Uh-oh. You'll have to repeat the question. I'm sorry. I just changed positions and lost you for a second.
Okay. Well, the downtown hotel conference center, is that a full private project, or is it a quasi private and public project?
We talk about it as a public-private partnership. The substantial lion's share of the funding for the project is going to be from the private sector. in terms of their debt and equity and owning and operating the hotel. The history on these kinds of projects in other communities has been that a little bit of public nudging is necessary because there's unique conditions at work here in our downtown. The historic preservation component, the constrained lot that we're working with, the ask from the city that we get maybe a little more conference center space than what might normally be constructed on something similar. It's a more expensive project being done where it's being done than it would be if it were a greenfield development done someplace else. So all of those things we believe are appropriate reasons. And, you know, we've had these conversations for a number of years, Bob. We think those are all appropriate reasons for the city, the county, and the state to be partners to bring what all of the economic analysis suggests will be a substantial economic boost for the city of Frederick.
So it's now into the review stage. Are we now going to see as this moves forward? I mean, right now the property in itself is still not been bought. I know that we've had this conversation, I think, within the last month or two, that there are those in place for that to happen, to be bought, in as long as it was going to move forward with the project. So is that now starting to take shape?
Yes. So the next steps in this process will be formal receipt of the grant that the city's received from Department of Housing and Community Development, entering into a development agreement with Plamondon Hospitality Partners, who will be the private entity and the hotel developer. That will include a lease agreement. So for the funding that the city and the county are have queued up to put into the project, about $4.5 million, that will cover the land purchase. So for the local funds that are going in, we're going to hold the land. That gives us a little bit of a equity piece in the project. And we'll enter into a lease arrangement, a ground lease arrangement for the privately operated hotel and conference facility that would sit on the city-owned land.
We'll wrap up our conversation with the mayor of the city of Frederick, who's in Cambridge, shaking hands and telling people how great the city of Frederick is and already knows. I think everybody already knows how great the city of Frederick is. We'll talk more with him coming up next on WFMD.
30 WFMD traffic for Frederick and surrounding counties.
Rollover vehicle accident this morning on 15 northbound in the Thurmont area by Blue Mountain Road. From what we're hearing on the scanner, it may be a box truck. Watch out for a lot of equipment proceeding to the scene and arriving as we speak. 270 southbound delays this morning. They go from Frederick into Hightstown. Little slow as you're going through Germantown and some stop and go activity. 355 southbound right around Lewisdale Road to 109. Also seeing congestion in Loudoun County, 15 southbound St. Clair Lane to Luckett's Road. This is brought to you by Frederick Air and Bryant. Whatever it takes to keep you comfortable, Frederick Air, it's a good call.
This WFMD MTA update, a service of Transit, Transit Services of Frederick County.
Good morning from the MTA. Checking in on the Brunswick line. We're still looking okay right now. The next train out of Frederick is train 894. That leaves
to Frederick County.
Good morning from the MTA. Checking in on the Brunswick line. We're still looking okay right now. The next train out of Frederick is train 894. That leaves at 710. Monocacy just before 720. Riders will arrive in Washington about 9 o'clock. Train 876 hits Point of Rocks at 650. Arriving at Union Station at 8:15, train 878 makes a stop in Point of Rocks at 7:15. For the MTA Transit team, I'm Austin Todd on WFMD.
Hey, it's Tom Whalen, WFRE Free Country Wake Up Crew, and I got to thank Johnson & Johnson Heating and Air Conditioning for doing some awesome work on my house. These guys are the real pros, left it cleaner than when they got there. Give them a call today, jnjcomfort.com.
Welcome to Comfort.
The 930 WFMD sky scan forecast for Frederick and surrounding counties calls for areas of frost this morning. Otherwise, we'll have a sunny, breezy Tuesday. Our high 71 with winds to 20 miles an hour. We'll have scattered showers overnight with a low of 51. Isolated showers are on the way for Wednesday. Cloudy skies will gradually become mostly sunny. Our high 69 with winds to 25 miles an hour. Thursday should be a sunny day with a high of 61. PJ's Roofing. When it comes to your roof, they've got you covered. Visit PJsRoofing.com. I'm Rod Tanner.
And right now it is 38 in Frederick. Good morning. 646 on the Morning News Express.
Think identity theft won't happen to you? Think again. There's a new victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., over 15 million this year alone, and many don't even know they're victims. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you could miss even when you monitor your credit. If your identity's stolen, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft, but everyone can save up to 25% their first year with my name, Clay, as the promo code at LifeLock.com.
Hi, this is Shannon with Armor Fence in Maryland. Transform your living space with a new fence with Armor Fence. We have material in stock for fast installations. Want to do it yourself? Armor Fence in Maryland has the largest supply of vinyl, aluminum, and wood in stock all year long. We also offer 12-month financing options.
Call Armor Fence of Maryland today for your free estimate at 301-473-5000. That's 301-473-5000.
Thanks for listening to Hometown Radio, the talk of Mid-Maryland.
Everybody in town's talking about it.
930 WFMD.
All right, let's get back right to it because I don't have a whole lot more time. We've got to let the mayor go. The mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, joins us from the text line. Scott wants to know, hey, what's going on at the old Carmack Jays? It's been vacant for more than 3.5 years, and I know that that's a property that you know, has kind of caused some issues over the years.
It's another one of those properties that has now been vacant long enough for it to be considered blighted under the city's ordinances. We're going to look at all of the opportunities that we have available to us to enforce our codes and use the tools that we have available. Our hope is that the owner of that property will look at options that are on the table that are available to them to rehabilitate, renovate, knock down, rebuild, whatever it might be. It's another property that we think can and should be brought into productivity in the city of Frederick.
When how goes the sidewalk repairs? I know that that was once something that back in the day that I can remember. It was like the it depended on who who owned it and whether or not they had to take care of the sidewalks. It looks like the city's kind of stepping up and doing some sidewalk repairs. How long will that take, and where do we start, and where does it finish?
Great question. City code requires adjoining property owners to maintain and repair the sidewalks that adjoin abut their property. We understand that in some places that's a difficult task. And so we're in the process, should be awarding a contract soon to do a citywide sidewalk survey, sort of inventory and assessment of sidewalk conditions. When we get that assessment done, the city, we put some funding into the fiscal year 25 budget to kind of jumpstart a sidewalk repair program, and it's going to be driven by the results of that sidewalk assessment.
All right, final question, and a little bit easier down your bailiwick. The baseball season has begun. Of course, we've got the Keys and the Ghost Towns. Are we still looking? I mean, obviously, there's a move afoot to kind of do some renovations at Nemio Field at Harry Grove Stadium. And what about trying to get these teams? Does the city have any input, or can they help get an affiliation back again for the city of Frederick?
Yeah, we won't have the Ghost Towns this upcoming summer because of some situations that are going on with the Atlantic League, and they needed a team to step out, and it actually works well because we're in active conversations now with the Maryland Stadium Authority to utilize resources at their disposal to do some renovations at Harry Grove Stadium, all with the objective is to do the improvements that Major League Baseball has identified as necessary for minor league baseball. That's what cost us the Keys affiliation a couple of years ago, and it has remained an objective to get affiliated minor league baseball back in Frederick, and we're optimistic that with the stadium improvements we're working with the Maryland Stadium Authority on, we're going to do that.
Do you anticipate the ghost towns coming back, or should I buy the ghost towns hat now and just know that it will be a souvenir forever?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. The mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, we appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It's 6:51. The business update with Chris Murray is next.
930 WFMD traffic for Frederick and surrounding counties.
15 northbound by